Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hi, everybody. It's Ryan Ballinger from Golf News Net. Hope you're doing well. Thanks for tuning in today. So, David Duval is one of the greatest golfers of all time. He's had one of the best runs in the history of the PGA Tour with 11 wins and 33 starts. He's won the Open Championship. He's won the Players. He's been number one in the world. He's done pretty much everything you could ask of someone to do in the professional game. Recently, we had the opportunity to speak with him on March 14th, the same day the USGA and the RNA announced a proposed measure that would lead to an effective rollback of the golf ball for elite competitors. Spoke with him about that proposal, his thoughts on it, his thoughts on equipment, longevity as a career, playing in the California desert with the new Gallery Classic on the PGA Tour Champions, and a few other things. We hope you enjoy.
Hey, David, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks. So, obviously, I don't know how much you've read about what happened with the USGA, the RNA, and the potential rollback for the model local rule. Have you read it? Have you had any reaction to it yet?
You know, I haven't necessarily read the entire USGA statement. I just saw it this morning. I just caught wind of it yesterday afternoon, like probably so many people. Yeah, I mean, I have my thoughts on it and things like that, you know. So, I mean, are you asking me?
Yes, yes. Fire away.
Do you have a specific question? Because I have obviously some thoughts on it, but go ahead.
I mean, general thoughts, yeah, but do you think that a rollback is needed, and do you think that this is the proper way to go about doing it through equipment testing standards as opposed to maybe something I don't even know what you come up with otherwise?
Right. Well, no, 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 and no. They, you know, it's, I believe that, you know, they're trying to put the cat back in the bag. They have set up these testing standards, and they've been in place for how long? Basically perpetuity. I mean, you know, they've been here the whole time. None of it. Look, a lot of people, you know, as golfers and golf fans and have kind of thought that, you know, it seemed like they thought in a way that, you know, distance was something you were born with, right? You know, for the longest time.
Yeah.
You know, what Bryson did emphatically proved that distance is a learned skill. Just like chipping, just like putting, just like, you know, iron play, course management. And so now to go and then attack one skill set makes no sense to me. And I think that, you know, when you go and you train and you're willing to do what other people aren't, why should you be penalized for that? And I do believe, and I don't necessarily know the statistics behind it or the science behind it, but I do believe that any rollback harms the medium to shorter hitter more so than it does the long hitter. And look, it has always, you know, golf has, I think, hell, just like about any other sport, has always been and forever will be a power prejudiced sport. I mean, do you want to be the stronger person in basketball or the weaker one? Do you want to be the stronger person in football or the weaker one? I mean, you kind of go through it. And so, and what has happened with the game and the longevity that is associated with it, the financial rewards that have been coming into it, you now, in my opinion, are attracting the bigger, better, faster, stronger athlete to the sport. you know, because, hey, oh, I can go be a running back for a 3.5 year average in the NFL, or I can go play professional golf for 20 years, you know? Right. I mean, and so I disagree with it. You know, and I would say that, you know, the PGA Tour, and look, I've never necessarily read like the DP World Tour, what they're thinking, but the PGA Tour conducts their competitions under USGA rules, but they reserve the right not to.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, you're in a situation where if the feedback from the fan base and the players around the world are diametrically opposed to it, well, then, you know, the influence of the USGA and RNA might start to wane as far as the game goes and rules go. And it would be, from what I understand, you've probably read it all, it would be a local rule, correct?
Yes, a local rule, yep.
And so you don't have to use a local rule.
Right.
In competition. And so I kind of personally think that what you might see is, I mean, they might call it a bifurcation of the rules, but it's going to be a bifurcation of rules, and that the PGA Tour is going to conduct their competitions under their own rules of the game. And, you know, yeah, if you want to play a USGA event like the US Open and they go ahead with this, then you might have to adjust and play with what they say. But I think it harms what they're doing. It harms their standing in the game. And I struggle to see, you know, a situation. And then you go to the fact that, you know, you want, you know, Bridgestone golf balls sell really well, right? Because yeah. Tiger uses them, you know? Yeah. Callaway golf balls, I use them. John Rahm, Xander Shaw, you know? People want – I had a friend of mine recently in the last week asking me about clubs and new things. You know, he's kind of – it's time for him to re-gear. And I was explaining to him my view on it and why he should try Callaway and do that. And he started testing. He's like, holy cow. I'm like, yeah, you know, the R&D they put into it. And now – and so and most amateurs want to use what the pros use. You know, I mean, that gives a better understanding and appreciation of what they do. You know, I mean, I'm sorry, but how many people can stand on a tee box and swing a driver like, you know, Rory McIlroy? You know, just easily hit 185 ball speed, and it looks like it's effortless. Well, yeah. that's a learned skill. I'm sorry, that is practice and work, a lifetime of dedication. So I just it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I think I saw January 1, 2026 is when it would start, I believe. Yeah. And so I don't know. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think it's dead in the water, or do you think it's?
I mean, I've been for a rollback for 20 years, but at the same time, I was kind of tweeting about this today. Of there's so much that it's also been learned about biomechanics and efficiency and data has told us what the game plan is to be a winner and how to optimize your game. And you, as you talked about earlier, you can't put that toothpaste back in the tube. It's not like we're all going to suddenly forget, hey, it pays to hit it far off the tee. You should hit it as far as you can off the tee. And that we've got TrackMan that tells us how to optimize our equipment to perform the best for how we deliver the golf club. So how effective can a rollback be amid that?
I mean, it seems to me, and again, this is where I don't know the science of it and such, but they're going to test, I saw 127 at 10 degrees.
Yep.
Right?
Well, something like 2250 RPM.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, if I, you know, I don't swing at 127 miles an hour. I think I did 25 years ago, but you know, I can touch 100 and whatever, 10, whatever it is. And if I launch it at, you know, if I launch it at 10 degrees at 2200, it carries 270, 75 yards. Well, if I swing at the same speed and launch it at 15, carries 295 yards.
Right.
And so I don't understand how you come up. They obviously they're not arbitrary. They've spent you know, a lot of time looking at these launch conditions and things like that. But okay, 10 years down the road, when you know a person like Scotty Scheffler is a small man out there. I mean, when I started, you know, 30 years, I was a big person, and now I look up at all these people. And so 10 years from now, when you get that much bigger of an athlete, that much better trained of an athlete, is it going to keep rolling it back? And who's going to brunt the cost of all these manufacturers having to retool and to test and to develop balls? And, you know, it's going to be passed on to the consumer, and it's already a cost prohibitive game. It's a cost prohibitive and time prohibitive game. And you want to grow it, but you want to make it harder and more expensive. That makes no sense.
Fair enough. Something maybe less controversial and happier. You're going back to the Palm Desert area where you shot one of the most memorable final rounds in the history of the PGA Tour. How often do you think about that final round 59? And will you think about it much when you come to the gallery?
I won't, probably. I think about it a lot. The one thing when I'm asked about it, like I tell people, and I've always said it, is that it was the easiest round of golf I ever played. I mean, I had three stressful moments on the golf course that day. So just quickly, it was a 5-day event then, you know, 2 weeks prior, I had won out at Kapalua by 9 shots, playing beautiful. Through 3 days, I was 13 under par for the tournament, made the cut by whatever, just a couple shots, but hadn't made any putts. And as you probably are well aware, those are the most perfect greens in the world out there that time of year. Mm-hmm. They do not get better. And I hit it. I was hitting it good, and I was hitting them. I just didn't make any putts. And on those greens, that's your fault. That ain't the green's fault. So I hit it to about 5 feet on the first hole, a little downhill, left to righter. And, you know, my thought was like, man, I'm bound to make something, aren't I? And I kind of squeezed it in on the right side. And then after that, there was absolutely zero stress. You know, I kept hitting it right next to the hole. And then on 17, I watched, Bob Tway putt, and he was about 5 or 6 feet further away than I was on almost the exact same line, right of the hole on 17, kind of going down the green towards that drainage river, whatever this thing's called there, that concrete thing. And he hit his putt, and it looked like he didn't hit it that hard, and it went 6 or 7 feet by the hole. And I was like, wow, that is fast. I still hit it like 4 feet by. And so that putt coming back was stressful, because if I don't make that, it's, you know, the opportunity's over. And then there was maybe a little bit of stress on the last hole, but maybe not, because I think I had got it so clear in my mind on that 7-footer I had that, well, either you're going to make it or you're going to miss it. So let's go, you know.
So, all right. So what was the most stressful round of golf you've ever played then? If a 59 was low stress, what's a high stress round?
Well, any match in the Ryder Cup is as stressful as it gets. It doesn't matter if you're in singles or you're with playing in the foursomes or the four ball. Those are the most stressful rounds in professional golf. It was probably the weekend of 99 when I won the Players. One, it's, you know, I'm born and raised there.
Right.
But two, I don't know if you know or remember, it was obnoxiously difficult.
Yeah.
It was obnoxiously hard. I was telling a story, just a couple of days ago, because they had it on, and I was like, yeah, I shot 69-69, I believe, in my first two rounds, and I was a shot behind, I think it was Joe Ozaki, you know, and I shot 74-73 on the weekend and won by two. That's, I mean, you couldn't keep it on a green there. I mean, it was so incredibly difficult. I landed a pitching wedge out of the first cut on 18, the final hole, just over that kind of grass bunkers on the right of the green.
Yeah,
in the middle.
Yeah.
It went right over the green. Pitching wedge, you know. So, and I didn't catch a flyer. I mean, yeah, it might have a little less spin because it's out of the first cut, but it wasn't like one of those super flyers where 8-iron goes 185 yards.
Right.
You know, it just was next to impossible to keep it on the green. And to shoot 3 over par going into the weekend, one behind and win by two, you know, it's still the highest winning score there's ever been there. I mean, only 2 people finished the week under par. So that's that wild. Was stressful. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds pretty stressful. Yeah, by comparison. So there's been some banter back and forth that I've seen from a couple of folks talking about this event in advance and coming to a former LPGA major championship site. And if there's any intrigue at all to jump in Poppy's pond, is there, is there any?
I don't know. Well, you know, I think that if that kind of, one, I can understand it possibly happening. Two, that was one of their great traditions and maybe it should go away with them leaving there. So maybe it shouldn't happen. But three, I'm not sure there'd be a whole lot of jumping by the Champions Tour players. It might be just kind of slowly waddling in there.
We'll do a slip and slide instead.
Yeah, right. Yeah, just slip in there. Sit down, kind of ease yourself in. Don't need any more injuries.
And for you being an ambassador user for the tests, I mean, what is the experience like in using it, and what's the message you want to send to people about being preventative, you know, being forward thinking about their health and kind of taking preventative measures like this using this test?
Well, we get to that age, right? Especially, you know, all the Champions Tour players, that it's time to really think about it, you know, monitoring your health and taking preventative measures to try to, you know, create some longevity in your life. You know, I mean, the reality is, you know, my wife and I are in the second halves of our lives, and we have 5 kids, we have grandkids, you know, we want to be a part of it. And, you know, when you can, as a 50-year-old person or 50 plus, you can go to your doctor or go to gallery.com and arrange a test and do a blood draw, and get a multi-cancer early detection screening out of it when they ship it off, and it tests for dozens of cancers. It really seems like a no-brainer to me.
Yeah. And like you said, it's easy to do, something doesn't take a lot of time, and the information you get is potentially life-saving.
Potentially life-saving and invaluable. Yep, exactly. You know, I mean, how old are you?
I'll be 40 at the end of April. So I'm getting near that age birthday. Where I need to start thinking about annual tests.
It's like, okay, I got to start thinking about these things now, and certainly coming up. And that's just part of life and part of the living process. And so, you know, I just think it's crazy when, if you have access and availability, which has been created with this test, why you wouldn't take the gallery test makes no sense to me.
And that comes from someone who's been able to play professional golf for 30 years and has created a longevity for yourself. I mean, it all kind of makes sense to believe in something like that.
Exactly. I mean, it's I think that, you know, gallery getting involved with the PGA Tour champions is a perfect mix, and it's a great way to get the message out. I mean, the fan base of our tour tends to be the 50 plus people and or the people who are approaching it and are eligible to take the test.
I'm looking forward to seeing you guys take on the desert, take on the venue, and I appreciate you spending some time with me and laying it straight.
I'm looking forward to getting out there. I know. I'm looking forward to getting out there too. It's always fun being out there.
Thanks to David Duval for joining us. I really appreciate it. It was a great conversation. Even though we have different points of view on the rollback, I thought his perspective was really informative and helpful to understand the mind of someone who's played golf at the highest level. Thanks so much for listening to this interview on Golf News Net Radio. You can subscribe to our channel through iHeartRadio, TuneIn, and listen to our podcast through various on-demand services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.